Go to WeddingsByAllyLLC.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio LLC.
It's time to join Huck and Dave for 1 hour of educational news and conversation. They will discuss the current events that you are not going to hear on the mainstream media. The left wants to silence our free speech and take away our liberties. Huck and Dave want to open up the lines of communication and allow you, our listeners, to speak about what America wants. Call Huck and Dave for open discussions at 504-556-9696, or you can reach them at libertyorlockdown.live. Now, let's go live and direct to Huck and Dave for Liberty or Lockdown.
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. This is Huck.
And Dave.
We have a great show for you all. Our guest, Dr. Peter McCullough, and Dave, Mr. Prentice with his COVID stats. Dave, you want to go ahead?
Sure.
Get us started.
Well, this time of year, we always have a little elevation in colds and flu and so forth. And yeah, that's what we're seeing right now. But people say, oh, no, that's terrible. We have this triple demic. Now, Louisiana, in the last 2 weeks, there's been a grand total of about 6,500 positive tests. And this is out of 4.7 million people. That's an average of a little less than 10 positive tests per 100,000 people, or one person per 10,000, and that's statewide. There's an area around Caldwell and Calcasieu and places like that where there seems to be a little bit of an elevated positive test rate right now in that one part of the state, and that's pulling the rest of the state up. But in Jefferson Parish, the average number of positive tests is about almost seven, positive tests per 100,000 people, and this is out of 434,000 people. So that's not a particularly worrisome thing, at least not to me. Maybe I'm cruel and heartless. Orleans Parish has about 10 positive tests per 100,000. And again, this is out of 391,000 people. So, and they're not dying. If you go to libertyorlockdown.live, you'll see there's a link on there that says more, and you can pull up the number of positive tests in Louisiana and these two parishes, as well as the number of deaths in Louisiana and these two parishes. The grand total number of people who have died in Jefferson Parish, it's about 0.165 deaths per day per 100,000. There have been 10 deaths out of 434,000 within the last 2 weeks total. Orleans Parish has been, I believe, a little bit less than that. Anyway, it's not to take away too much time because we want to get to Dr. McCullough. But, President Biden has finally said, okay, the emergency is over. Yay! As of May 11th, the COVID emergency is going to officially be over. Now, May 10th, okay, that's it. You're still in a state of emergency. Isn't an emergency something that comes up all of a sudden? This has been going on, for over 3 years? But
three long years.
Yeah, emergency! Anyway, President Biden has finally said, okay, the emergency is going to end on May 11th. May 10th, the COVIDs are still going to get you, but May 11th, all right, they've agreed to sign a truce.
Yeah, I read something today with Steve Scalise, I believe, saying that they were introducing a bill to end the emergency now that we have the House. It's just ridiculous. I'm almost speechless at this point. But I know someone who is not speechless, and he has a lot to say. So, it's this America first versus, I know Dr. Peter McCullough always says that this virus is not a Republican thing. It's just a people thing. It's a government thing. And it's basically feels like it's the government against we the people. And he is a blessing and a voice out there. And it's a blessing to have him here on Liberty or Lockdown with Dave and I. We want to welcome Dr. Peter McCullough. He joins us right now, exclusive interview discussing how the COVID shots created disease and death and whether there's a pathway to a healthy life past COVID. Dr. Peter McCullough is an internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist. And we want to welcome you, sir. Are you there? All right, we don't have you on the line. So have you called in? You have to call in, sir. 504-556-9696.
We see your face.
The board can't hear you unless you call in. There you go, sir.
See your face, but don't hear your voice.
All right, perfect. All right, so anyway, we welcome. We're excited to have Dr. Peter McCullough on, and we have a lot of information here. Are you there, sir?
I am.
Okay, perfect. I can hear you now. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. And, you know, there's a lot going on with this bombshell project from Veritas journalist Jordan Tristan Walker, the Director of Research and Development of Strategies. You want to just take it from there? And
you know, I knew there was going to be more film, and sure enough, there was another drop of film today by James O'Keefe, Project Veritas. Project Veritas is a non-government organization that is effectively working as our FBI now. They're doing the correct investigative probes. And they had targeted a young doctor who went to Yale undergrad. He went to St. Medical School, UT Southwestern, graduated in 2018. He was a rotating intern in 2019, and he was plucked out of his internship by Boston Consulting and did some work on remdesivir, then quickly went to Pfizer Research and Development. And the organization of the sting operation was to get him comfortable with going out on a date and getting to know another person. And then sure enough, he spills the beans. And what Dr. Walker revealed is that Pfizer is contemplating and meeting on trying to change SARS-CoV-2, the virus, into a new virus and then have their vaccines match it. This is very dangerous to actually create something and then create a product to combat the disease. If the virus would be proven to be more infectious and more lethal in the Pfizer labs, that would be gain-of-function research. That's illegal. And number two, if they intentionally released it, that would qualify as domestic terrorism.
It certainly would. That kind of reminds me of when I first started this. I remember seeing an article. This was back when Trump was president, and he had pulled the funding for a laboratory in, I think, North Carolina University, where they were doing some studies there with the COVID virus. But that seemed to have just been information that was never brought forward. And the next thing you know, I remember reading articles about the vials being transported to China. And then now China's got the Wuhan lab, and then they created it there. But, I mean, if you really go back, it almost seems like it was created here under Obama. I don't know much about that in the details, but I do remember reading that.
It's true. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill was a key player. They had organized research with Harvard and a Swiss institute in order to make SARS-CoV virus more infectious and more lethal. Now, the work was funded by the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the research division of the military division of NIH, BARDA, the research division of our DOD, which is DARPA. They funded this, and they started back in 2012. Our military announced in 2012 a program called ADEPT-P3. It's on their website. It said the military will develop messenger RNA vaccines to end pandemics in 60 days. That was a military aspiration. The first flow of money went to Moderna in 2013. Pfizer came in later on. Moderna right now is suing Pfizer for allegedly copying the patent.
Oh yeah.
So we know Moderna was first.
Exactly.
But the point is, the messenger RNA vaccine against virus.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. We have somebody interrupting the call. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Go ahead.
I think he's going to have to call back.
Okay. Can you hang Matthew up, please? Not Dr. McCullough. Dr. McCullough, can you please call back in?
Sorry about that.
Sir. Hang Matthew up, please. Just hang him up. Get him off the line. Sorry about that, Dr. McCullough.
I'm back.
Okay. Please repeat what you were saying.
So So what I'm saying is the messenger RNA concept for SARS-CoV-2, that's a military idea since 2012. It was contracted out through University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. There was a go-between organization called the EcoHealth Alliance, and the work was done in the Chinese Wuhan Institute of Virology Lab, the BSL-4 lab, and that was well known to Moderna because their CEO, Stéphane Bancel, he helped build that lab when he was with BioNTech in France. So all this was going on during the Obama administration, but it's clear it was by design.
It was by design. It is very clear, and I'm glad that we're bringing that up so people will begin to understand that this is gain of function, and it began a long time ago. It's not just right now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Liberty Oral Lockdown Live with Dr. Peter McCullough.
I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their mind.
Taste of Tokyo, 10160 Jefferson Highway, River Ridge, Louisiana. Among other Japanese cuisine places to visit, this restaurant can be one of the best. Good salmon, broth, and sushi will impress you at the first bite. Taste tasty cheesecake and good ice cream to form your opinion about Taste of Tokyo. Visit this place and order delicious wine. If you enjoy great tea, you'll love Taste of Tokyo. The cozy atmosphere makes guests feel relaxed and everyone seems to be having a good time. According to Google Review, pricing is excellent and the staff is considered attentive and patient. I suggest trying the beef tataki, pepper tuna sashimi, Playboy roll in soy paper, and the sunshine roll. It tastes and feels like you're in Hawaii. Enjoy Taste of Tokyo on Jefferson Highway.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Craft beer is booming, and we're here to share the good word about our favorite beverage. We're the Beer Guys, and we're bringing you the best and the latest from the world of craft beer. Join us to get the scoop on the new brews, crafty news, and interviews with the amazing people of craft beer. We'll hear stories from breweries across the country, what they're brewing, their take on trends, plus the art and science that goes into making a great craft beer. Join us every week, Beer Guys Radio, Saturday at 8 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Hey, it's Kevin Carr with your personal sneak preview invitation to join me on Sunday evening from 8 to 9 for Fat Guys at the Movies. Each week, I give you my take on the newest movies and movie news, but in a fun way. Not like those stuffy movie review snobs who take themselves way too seriously. I tell you if the new movies rock or not. Yes, it's fun for all ages with Fat Guys at the Movies. I'll see you Sunday evening at 8 on WGSO 990 AM.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM, WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. We are not going to take it anymore, and that is why we are speaking out, and we have Dr. Peter McCullough on the line with us. Sir, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Let's take it where we left off.
Well, we have a situation now where this whistleblower on today's drop has revealed that Pfizer knew that the vaccines were going to affect female fertility. This is very disturbing. We have data emerging. Two papers, one from China, one from Israel, on the male side of fertility, where sperm count and sperm motility are reduced by vaccines for sure for about 6 months. So some men will be rendered infertile during that period. But on the female side, Pfizer must have known that the vaccines indeed would target the ovaries. In a biodistribution study produced by Pfizer for the Japanese, they showed the lipid nanoparticles go to mammalian ovaries. Now, big British Medical Journal shows that periods are altered by the vaccines. And anytime the female period is altered, even by a day, it'll throw off fertility cycles. And sure enough, we're now seeing data sweeping across Europe that fertility and then actually fecundity, that is the successful childbirth, are way down in almost all areas of Europe.
Well, we've seen also the data on all of these miscarriages. There's so many. The percentage is, I don't know how, it's incredibly larger than it was last year and the year before.
I agree. You know, the peer-reviewed published literature on this is biased, meaning that most of the researchers through their institutions took money from the COVID Community Core federal funding to promote the vaccines. The American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, for sure, took federal money to push the vaccine. So they're not going to let any information against the vaccines come forward. But it's coming out in different sources. Dr. James Thorpe, a very senior OB-GYN physician, maternal fetal medicine physician, has published independent analyses demonstrating just what you said, that there's increased rates of miscarriages and stillbirths, as well as fetal hemorrhage, which is a horrific thing to have happen. His data has been published, and he presented it in the U.S. Senate on December 7th, 2022. So the word is getting out.
I have a quick little video for you. I'm going to play just about maybe 2 seconds or 3 seconds of it and have you comment on it. You there? You have it playing?
Completely.
Okay, here we go.
Having said as clearly as possible that the anti-vax people seem to be the winners, I want you to hear that clearly. The anti-vax people appear to be the winners. The anti-vaxxers clearly are the winners at this point, and I think it'll probably stay that way. And I don't want to put any shade on that whatsoever. They came out the best. They have the winning position. The unvaccinated have a current advantage because they feel better. The thing they're not worrying about is what I have to worry about, which is, I wonder if that vaccination 5 years from now, because really the anti-vaxxers, I think, were really just distrustful of big companies and big government. That's never wrong. It's never wrong to distrust government. It's never wrong.
Did you hear that clipping? Do you know who that
is? I did. I did. I think it's Mike Adams.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, what he's pointing to is if one did not take the vaccine, and the CDC says only, I believe, 13% of Americans did not take a vaccine now. So it's very few people. But those who didn't, they don't have to worry about any side effects, any long-term risks of heart damage, blood clots, neurologic damage, fertility. We just covered that. In a recent Cleveland Clinic study by Shretha and colleagues, the unvaccinated Cleveland Clinic workers, they have the lowest rates of COVID. So they actually have a better immune system to fight off the clinical manifestations of COVID. And with one shot, two shots, three shots, the risk of COVID progressively goes up in a graded fashion. So the vaccines have backfired greatly. And fortunately, we did have a small group of people in the United States who held strong, didn't take them. And he's right. They're going to turn out to be much healthier and free of concern.
The one thing that he's not right about is that the unvaccinated won, because no one won in this. My mother-in-law took the vaccine Tuesday, made 2 years ago, that she passed away from the Pfizer vaccine. And so we don't feel like there was a victory in our family because we didn't take it and she took it. We feel, you know, a lot of loss from losing my mother-in-law, my husband's mom.
I agree with that. It's not a competition. Everyone's family has people in it, people who took the vaccine.
Yes.
In my family, it's the same thing. We wish everybody well.
Yes.
It's not a competition. We know from the Zogby survey, 85% of people take the vaccine are fine. 85. That's a good number. But 15% have some new medical problem.
Pretty high 15% number.
15% is a huge number.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have a question from someone by the name, a friend of mine, actually. Her name is Gita. She lives in Pennsylvania. And she's curious about what you think of medicine in general. If they were lying about vaccine efficacy, what else are they lying about? And how has your opinion changed?
Yeah, I think the big change that I saw in medicine is when doctors wouldn't treat COVID. And they let patients get sick and get hospitalized. They found that they really follow government orders. Doctors never follow government orders on any of these things. We don't follow guidelines or protocols. Suddenly with COVID, the doctors snapped right into line and people suffered. They were hospitalized and died because they weren't treated early. That was the first thing. It was very disturbing. It was so disturbing, I wrote a book about it, Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalization and Death While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex. In fact, the federal agencies, the state medical boards, the health systems, they worked against doctors trying to treat patients with anything, Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, even Paxlovid was undermined by the CDC. Molnupiravir, nasal sprays were vilified by the FDA and FTC. Simple nasal sprays. And the company's trying to bring forward research there. Monoclonal antibodies were progressively taken off the market. It just was one thing after another. Any attempts to treat or help patients were intentionally impeded by this biopharmaceutical complex, and the only thing that was promoted was the vaccines.
So let me ask you, what did you think about these doctors have not been held accountable? I mean, even Dr. Deborah Brix, how she manipulated the information that she gave to President Trump. It was as if she intentionally deceived him, and we still haven't seen President Trump come forward regarding, you know, his stance on these vaccines. And that's really confusing to a lot of people because a lot of people, you know, well, I think he just went with the doctors, you know, which is the right thing to do, right? He allowed the doctors to lead him, and this is where we are. So, but like Fauci and Dr. Brix and everything that we're seeing going on, no one being held accountable. How do we get through this?
You're right. There's no Department of Justice probes. There's no special prosecutors assigned. There appears to be widespread corruption, and nothing's being done about it. An example is former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb, now on the board of Pfizer, you know, a former public health agency official, now on the board of Pfizer, advising Americans to take vaccines on CNBC, and then we find out he's influencing Twitter to try to suppress information on natural immunity.
Hold on to that thought. We'll be right back. This is Liberty or Lockdown Live. We'll be right back.
Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
What does grace mean to you? At Grace at the Green Light, a 501c3 nonprofit, we believe that everyone deserves a hot meal, clean drinking water, a welcoming community, and a chance to go home again. You can help create a new home and hope for those who need it most. To see how, visit our website at graceatthegreenlight.org.
Hey y'all, the Beat Exchange has a new time slot. Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO, 990 a.m. in New Orleans, a Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Join me, DJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show. We'll talk sports, music, current events, everything in between. That's weekdays, 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Hey, it's Christian. I want to tell you about my fellow American First Patriots at DTS Appliance Direct. When it comes to appliances, buy where the builders buy at DTS Appliance Direct. Call my friends
504-766-0738. 504-766-0738.
DTS Appliance Direct has brands from GE, Cafe, Monogram, Blaze Grills, Z-Line, and many more. Go see their loaded showroom, 3240 Paris Road in Chalmette, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Use promo code KG for free delivery.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
Does your business need help with print, signs, or marketing? Partner with Sir Speedy. We have more than 50 years of know-how and a proven track record that goes into every project. Our specialists will work with you on everything from print collateral and direct marketing campaigns to signage, both indoor and outdoor. Call Sir Speedy and let us know how we can help at 504-586-9812 or visit us online at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com. Sir Speedy, if you need it, we do it.
Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so.
Welcome back to Liberty or Locked In. We have Dr. Peter McCullough on the line. Dr. Peter McCullough, we have a few questions here. So Tracy Burke is saying to stop the payments. Urge elected officials to stop receiving campaign contributions from Pfizer. And then she gives the link, which if anyone's on our live stream, you'll be able to see. Here's the link to the contributions Pfizer issued to federal candidates in 2020.
I agree. Conflict of interest now is a big problem. I mentioned Scott Gottlieb, you know, on the board of Pfizer, on TV promoting vaccines on CNBC. CNBC received federal dollars to promote the vaccine. You can see the conflict of interest there. FDA commissioner after him was Stephen Hahn. He joined the investment banking firm for Moderna. So you can see how conflict of interest is a big problem. Right now, Pfizer is a direct government contractor. So under no circumstances can any elected official take money from Pfizer.
Well, with that being said, I have Connie Sampagnaro from Monroe, Louisiana. She'd like to know your opinion on the DOD's relationship with Moderna and the attention that the mRNA Pfizer vaccine is getting when very little or no attention is being placed on the Moderna vaccine, which is just as harmful or if not more harmful. It seems like there's a bait and switch that Moderna has mRNA heart vaccine they're coming out with and a cancer vaccine. And is this the reason that they're trying to take down Pfizer? This is just her question. She wants to know your opinion.
As an interesting insight, Pfizer does seem to be the target of everything. You know, Moderna's suing Pfizer for patent infringement.
Right.
Pfizer's being hit by Project Veritas. Pfizer was hit by the court order for the Public Health Professional Review Committee. Pfizer was first to market on December 10th. 2020, Moderna was out just about about 2 weeks later. Moderna, in the head-to-head comparisons available, always has more side effects.
clearly more risk of heart damage and myocarditis. And you're right, it almost seems like there's an intentional hyper-focus on Pfizer while startup company Moderna is advancing.
And Moderna is really mod RNA, M-O-D-E RNA, just...
Well, it's messenger RNA, but it's modified with nucleoside analog caps at the 3 prime and 5 prime end. It makes it undigestible. So the concerning thing about messenger RNA is it looks like it stays in the body for a very long time. There's a paper by Rolfgen and colleagues at Stanford in the body, stuck in lymph nodes at least for 2 months, but they didn't look, 6 or 12 months later. We've never seen a study that shows the messenger RNA gets out of the body. So it's safe to assume that each shot is for keeps. It progressively accumulates in the body and causes side effects.
So once you have these messenger RNAs in your body, you're rewriting your genetic code. Is that right?
There's one paper that shows that Pfizer basically got into the nucleus and the chromatin in a human hepatoma cell line model within a couple hours. And no one's refuted that paper. It looks very solid, and it's the center part of the code that got in. It was a reporter region. It's called the amplicon. So what we're telling you is that until we know more, it should be assumed that Pfizer is changing the DNA of the cells that the vaccine dumps its payload. Now, if the body immediately attacks those cells and kills those cells, the mosaic of genetically transformed cells, potentially can be kept very low. But the concerning things are these shots are coming in every 6 months. And, remember the schedule. Now it's shot one, then and then month later it's shot two. If there's immunocompromised, shot three another month later. And then after that, 3 months later or 4 months later, then there's a booster. I mean, these are basically on the type of dosing schedule. It's almost like gene therapy. It's almost given as a treatment, not a vaccine.
It's insane. Dave, do you have any questions for Dr. McCullough?
Yes, I do. Do they like you in California?
Well, I helped spur on not only the class action lawsuit against remdesivir, which is ongoing, but the two cases, the one by McDonald and Barkey that won, that actually overturned California AB 2098.
Did you know that?
Which is wonderful. The doctor muzzle law went down after about 4 weeks of being enacted.
But did you know that California has just passed a new law called the COVID Misinformation Law, in which medical licensing boards are required to take disciplinary action against doctors who spread false information about COVID? And I guess they would say you're spreading false information because it goes against the federal government.
I know, but that's the one I just mentioned. It was just struck down. That's actually breaking
news. Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, two lawsuits brought it down. And the judge, it was Judge Shrub, I can read for you what his conclusions were.
Yeah.
This is really priceless where... Shrub, let me get on this. Basically, the general gist of the legal opinion was that that it was vague, that it was one couldn't. This is exactly what he said, Judge Shrub. California's definition of misinformation is incoherent and unintelligible. It's an unintelligible phrase. Contemporary scientific consensus has no clear meaning. In COVID-19, it's a new disease that's generated conflicting and evolving scientific opinions. That's exactly right. It's opinions. Doctors give opinions and give second opinions, and they can't be muzzled into producing a government narrative. That simply can't be defined as too vague.
I'm so glad to hear that's been struck down. I did not know that. Why don't they pass... cancer misinformation law or a heart disease misinformation law or a kidney disease misinformation? Why only COVID?
That's a great question. I said that myself. Listen, it's a free country. In 2018, the Supreme Court asserted doctors can actually apply free speech in their medical language and in their medical opinions. I have a right to free speech. Now, I'm responsible in the patient office. I'm responsible in the hospital. I'm responsible when I go on the airwaves. But we will have you give any scientific finding, any patient, two or more doctors, you're going to get different opinions.
Yep.
So we have Connie Zimmerman, and she's asking your opinion of if you heard about the class action suit in California, again, California, on behalf of 8 patients who were killed via remdesivir.
Mm-hmm. That class action is way bigger than that now. There's hundreds and hundreds of families, and these hospital protocols were very injurious. November 2020, the World Health Organization declared that remdesivir should not be used in the hospital because the study showed it didn't help patients, and some people suffered kidney injury and liver injury. Particularly the kidney injury can lead to death if there's accumulation of fluid in the lungs. The WHO said do not use that. And what our Department of Health and Human Services did is they actually incentivized hospitals by giving them a premium on the payment if they would use up the remdesivir that the government had already pre-purchased. So this was a disaster. No American should have received remdesivir after the WHO contraindication. WHO reviewed that their data in spring of 2022 with more studies and concluded they were right to begin with. Nobody should have received remdesivir. So I think these California hospitals are in deep trouble. I think any hospital across the country that gained remdesivir after the WHO said not to use it, I think they're in deep trouble.
I don't understand why they would have switched remdesivir. I mean, I know why, because there was no money to be made with ivermectin, with in hydroxychloroquine. Those things were already there. And then the fact that they bring in remdesivir. I know my biological dad took it, and it almost killed him. So I'm glad to see something there. There was, what, $30,000 they would make for every person they put on a ventilator? There was a price on everything.
Right. So there was a premium, and the hospital administrators and the medical directors, they went for that government premium despite it injuring and leading to death in patients. I mean, this was the most awful situation. I testified in the Texas Senate in June of 2022, and I revisited that with the Department of Health and Human Services. I said, that happened on your watch. Every Health and Human Services committee in every state in the country should have immediately called for remdesivir to be pulled off the shelves. Should have said, listen, pull it off the shelves. And you're right. Ivermectin was shown in the ICON study done in Florida for Florida hospitals, big study. Ivermectin consistently reduced mortality by at least 50%.
Yeah.
And instead of giving something that's easy and safe, ivermectin is safer than Tylenol. Everybody should have gotten a chance with ivermectin.
That's correct. We have one more video we want you to hear, and tell us what you think about this video. This is in CDC official Dr. Carol Baker. Was caught on tape saying she has a solution to getting rid of those who refuse the vaccine. Her solution is appalling, and she's an Obama appointee. Here's the video.
Footage has surfaced of a top CDC official saying that the elite should get rid of all the whites in the United States and replace them with immigrants to reduce the number of people who refuse vaccines. Dr. Carol Baker was caught on film describing what she calls a solution during a panel discussion in New York City.
The solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitants, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States.
Notably, Baker was appointed chair of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization by Obama's Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius in 2009. The Houston doctor was also honored with the Sabin Vaccine Institute's 2019 Albert B. Sabin Gold Medal at a Washington, D.C. ceremony sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Pfizer. Is anybody really surprised that a Bill Gates-connected CDC official is openly suggesting depopulating America of white people? Footage has surfaced of a top CDC official saying that the elite should get rid of all the...
So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, that person's a public health servant. They work for me and you, and she should lose her job over that.
100%.
And I can tell you, I'm a senior physician. I'm more senior than she is. She should lose her job over that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not someone takes a vaccine, that's a free medical choice. That's not something you're talked into or forced into. It's a free medical choice. Vaccines are not for everyone. Everybody has a right to determine what goes in their body without any pressure, coercion, or reprisal. And she's actually taking it all the way to reprisal.
She sure is. It's appalling to get rid of whites. I mean, this sounds like Hitler days.
All them white people are evil. Oh, wait, I'm one of them.
Depopulating the earth, but targeting white people. It's insane what's going on. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break one more time. This is Liberty or Lockdown.
He loves his wife, and she's that wife that decorates on the 4th of July, but says every day is Independence Day. She's golden rule, teaches school. Some folks say it isn't cool, but she says the pledge of allegiance anyway. He's got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back. It says you
what? Chicken, chicken, chicken. Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean, racist oppressor of the black baby, and that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
Hi, this is Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies. Listen every Sunday at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM, the community voice of the Crescent City.
Craft beer is booming, and we're here to share the good word and the latest news about our favorite beverage. Join us every week, Beer Guys Radio, Saturday at 8 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Funky Uncle Live is pleased to continue its charitable work for musicians and gig workers with an 8-night jam for the homeless during Jazz Fest beginning April 27th at Zony Mash, located at 3940 Thalia Street. April 28th and 29th will feature Experiencing the Meters. Experiencing the Meters is New Orleans' quintessential funk band, the creators of funk, led by founding member and Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award recipient Leo Nocentelli, along with David and Russell Batiste, Donald Ramsey, and Bill Dickens. Rounding off the series starting on April 27th will be the New Orleans Suspects, Bonerama, Tribal Gold featuring Big Chief Juan Pardo, members of the Golden Comanche and the New Orleans Suspects, Stealing Peaches, Panic Stricken, and the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. Proceeds from all shows will support the New Orleans homeless community through Grace at the Green Light and Positive Legacy. For more information and to get your tickets, go to funkyuncle.live.
You might be afraid to speak out for fear of cancel culture or losing your job. Christian Garrick Show on WGSO is your platform. Noon to 2, weekdays, right here on 990 AM WGSO.
Born in the USA now, got in a little hometown jam. So they pull a rifle in my hand.
All right, we have Dr. Peter McCullough on the line. I have a couple of quick questions for you, Dr. McCullough. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. Our listeners appreciate you. Lots of people chiming in, asking questions. We didn't answer the question about President Trump. I probably didn't give you the opportunity to, but what are your thoughts on that, about him not denouncing, even though he's got to know, he knows what's going on, but we haven't heard him not even one time yet come out against Pfizer or Moderna. And yet we heard the Pope come out against J&J.
You know, that's an enigma. I hope I have a chance to sit down and go over it with the former president. So people close to him have reached out to me multiple times, and I think it'll happen. But he's going to have to talk to some well-researched, respected, and honest doctors about it. It's the only way forward.
Well, I will be praying about that for you. And do I wonder if he received remdesivir? That's a question.
You know, I don't know. He received what we consider an early version of the McCullough protocol. That's the most commonly deployed protocol. It involves drugs to reduce the degree of viral replication, the development of inflammation, and blood clotting. And he got it. He got through it. You know, Joe Rogan received a more intense, and Aaron Rodgers, they all received the McCullough protocol. And we're thrilled for the president. I mean, what I'm disappointed in is why wasn't that done for other people his age? Why did any Americans have to die?
That's exactly right. So are there treatments available to heal the damage for people who survive COVID vaccine injuries?
You know, there are no proven strategies right now. And that's a whole active area of right now empiric therapy and research. So we simply don't know. If people should see their doctor, they should press their doctor. I'm dealing with the serious conditions in my practice, heart damage, myocarditis, blood clots, neurologic injury. And, you know, so there we're using conventional drugs. But the general, bothersome issues of ear ringing and skin rashes and neuropathies and heart rate and blood pressure abnormalities, that's just plaguing people. 15% of Americans are sick with these vaccines.
Wow. Let me just point out your website to those that are listening. You can go to libertylockdown.live, look at the show notes, and you'll see a link. But the website is www.petermcculloughmd.com, and McCullough is McCullough. And if you can't remember that, go to Liberty or Lockdown and look on our show notes.
Don't you have a physician with your frontline doctors who came up with an enzyme?
Yeah, well, I took a position as the chief scientific officer of the wellness company, and that's a part-time role where I give them advice. And one of the pharmacists does have a product that is a nutraceutical supplement, so it doesn't have any therapeutic claims, but it does contain nattokinase, and that's a Japanese substance in preclinical models that's shown to break down the spike protein. But it needs to undergo formal randomized trials. The Chinese and Japanese have tested it previously in cardiovascular disease. The data all looks favorable. So many are looking to that at this point in time until we have more research.
Well, Dr. McCullough, we only have a few minutes left, and we're going to go ahead and just allow you to just speak to our listeners.
I think the biggest question I get is people have taken the vaccine. What should they do now? They should understand that the toxicity of the vaccines is cumulative. Each shot, the patient gets progressively sicker. So the first point is don't take any more shots. That's the first point. Let the body start to recover. The second point is be vigilant. It looks like the side effects are lasting far longer than we ever thought. So let me give you an example. You go on a long car ride or a plane ride, and you get off the plane, and one leg is more swollen than the other. Think about a blood clot. Think about a blood clot and get activated. Get an ultrasound. This is very important. If there's any chest pain, difficulty breathing, see an internist. Get referred to a cardiologist. Look at that MSNBC announcer, Yasmin. She went to a doctor like three different times, and they kind of blew her off. And finally, she got some testing done. She had myopericarditis with a big pericardial effusion, big fluid collection on her heart. She had to have a needle put in her chest and have it drained.
Wow.
She was out of work for a month. Now, she's fully vaccinated, and both her and her doctor are saying on TV that it was due to the common cold. But everyone knows that the FDA says the vaccines cause what she has. The peer-reviewed literature says the vaccines cause this. So I'm telling you as a doctor, what she had was due to the COVID-19 vaccines. But the point is she really had to press her case to get the proper care. And then from that point forward, people just need to be healthy. They need to stay free of COVID-19. I want to mention this. Once somebody's had the vaccines don't work so that people get COVID anyway. Be careful, because on that, after two or three shots and getting COVID, sometimes that's what really sets off the blood clots and the heart damage. That's what happened with Al Roker, our favorite weatherman. He had three or four shots, got COVID anyway, then the blood clots showered. Same thing happened with former Tampa Bay Bucs coach Bruce Arians. He got myocarditis, same pattern. So make sure that you stay free of COVID. What's the best way to do that? That's with using nasal virucidal washes and gargles, a dilute povidone iodine, dilute hydrogen peroxide. All the good folks in Louisiana should have that in their house. About 10 drops in a spray bottle, 10 drops in a little shot glass, and squirt it up in the nose, sniff it back, spit it out, do it twice, gargle with it for 30 seconds. That's a good nasal oral wash. That helps prevent COVID when people are coughing all around you. And you do it every 4 hours during active treatment.
Well, Dr. Peter McCullough, we certainly appreciate you. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with?
Well, make sure you stop on my website, petermcculloughmd.com. Also, check out my Substack, Courageous Discourse, put out information every day, very popular Substack. My podcast, every weekend, America Out Loud Talk Radio, McCullough Report, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday. It's on the Apple iHeart Podcast Network during the week. And then lastly, check out the wellness company, twc.health, and go there. It's an alternative. People can sign up for under $10 a month, access to health and wellness media materials, bookstore, nutraceuticals and supplements, and then discounts on doctor visits. One can actually have a doctor visit through the cell phone and get care, particularly when you're in a pinch and you can't get a hold of your doctor. And recently they added dental. So if you don't have dental insurance, or if you don't have health care insurance or dental insurance, for sure, get the wellness company.
And that's twc.health?
That's twc.health.
All right. Dave, any last questions?
Is there a link from your Peter McCullough website to that, or is that a separate thing?
Yes. Yeah, it's all linked. So from my website,
okay,
you can get my Twitter, Getter, True Social, Wellness Company, to my book, Courage to Face COVID-19. So the website's central source.
Okay. So I hope you're not going to go home and use a gas stove to cook up any medicines, are you?
Oh, man. I saw a great tweet. There was some guy who tweeted. He said, I've never really thought about gas stoves. He said, suddenly I want one.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ron DeSantis has sort of an in-your-face Democrat thing. He is proposing a permanent tax exemption on the gas stoves.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, every good kitchen down in Louisiana uses gas stoves.
100%. I'm a huge cook. My family said I missed my calling. I should have been a chef. They love my cooking, and I couldn't imagine cooking on electric. Yeah. So
Martha laughs at me because I keep bringing that up every week. I just
every
think
week.
It's so hilarious.
He can't get over
it's
it.
It's like, how could they do that? When my wife heard that, she was just flabbergasted. I know. Come on. Give us a break.
Next week, we'll dedicate the whole show to it.
Yeah, and thank you so much for going on Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and, you know, everything that you do. You're a blessing to not just the United States of America, to me personally, and to the world. Keep doing what you're doing, sir. You have a lot of people, the body of Christ, praying for you, and we are going to win. We are winning.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Peter McCullough. All right, this is Liberty or Lockdown. Appreciate everyone who participated in this show. We'll see you next week, Thursday, 5 p.m. The Lord bless you.
Detroit down to Houston and New York too.
Interesting.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean, racist oppressor of the black baby.